Welcome to the thrilling soundscape of Mere Immortal. Dive into our relentless, weekly action-adventure series where superhuman entities wreak havoc, leaving a trail of chaos in their wake. If the adrenaline-fueled escapades of Metal Gear Solid, the cutthroat camaraderie of Black Lagoon, or the cynical anti-hero charm of The Boys gets your pulse racing, then Mere Immortal is your new addiction. We cater to your intrigue, offering fresh chapters every week in text and audio bi-weekly. Can't stand the suspense? Race over to MirrorImmortal.com to leap into future episodes and unravel the story that's keeping everyone on their toes.
You are now listening to Mere Immortal, the audio serial. Mere Immortal, Chapter 2, Part 1. Character Perspective, Zella Mills, Location, London. I will now begin reading the chapter. On every TV and internet broadcast, people mourned the death of Zip, a beloved immortal. The wider world was blissfully unaware of the atrocities committed by the immortals. Even reporters were naive to their nature, and so they spread dread and fear-mongering across their platforms in the aftermath of Zip's murder. If the immortals can be victims of murder, then what hope does humanity have? One reporter said. Zella blew air through her lips when she heard that. Do their sources come from anyone outside of the political ecosystem? She asked. Zella knew that if they did their research, they would hear about immortals striking down military bases and assassinating political threats at the behest of the Covert Operations Group, better known as COG. You can't trust any news station here or back in the States, Chloe said. She leaned forward on the sofa, digging her nails into her scalp. Chloe had been on edge since Zella killed Zip. Joe sat her on the sofa with a fresh batch of coffee to calm her. Their news comes from the top down. And it's tailor-made to feed the public propaganda. Chloe was a former intelligence officer for the Eagle Intelligence Agency. She'd left the organization after feeling incessant guilt and shame over their practices. It's because of Chloe that Zella and Joe knew how deep the government's surveillance strategies went. The Eagle Intelligence Agency, better known as the EIA, worked closely with COG. And both of them were pro-immortal. Using the immortals for their own brand of global corruption. Well, it won't be long now till Elias and Lola dig through the data and find something to expose them, Joe said. If we find the footage we're looking for, then their shady actions can't escape the spotlight. Elias and Lola were two junior assistants scouted by Joe himself. Joe sat next to Chloe on the couch with a bottle of soda in his hands. They were staying in a temporary warehouse storage space. When they were in the clear, they'd catch a flight back to their base in the South American country, Nguela. Joe took Chloe by the hand. Their fingers interlocked. You're sure that Zip had the footage of the Red Hound slaughter, aren't you? Joe asked. His deep-set, dark eyes fell on Chloe. The two of them were in some kind of relationship. Zella didn't quite understand it and kept her nose out of it. One of my friends back in the cyber warfare division of EIA confirmed it, Chloe said. My poor friend is probably working overtime now after Zella's little assassination. Chloe watched Zella, waiting for a response. Zella rubbed her neck, unsure how to respond. Her throat felt tight where Zip choked her. Chloe continued speaking her mind. We're supposed to be activists, not terrorists. Joe set his soda down and placed his other palm over Chloe's hand. I know we weren't ready for that. But Zella has given me her reason, and I understand. They killed my mother, too. Zella had only known Joe Halili and Chloe Duff for a couple of months, but she'd heard Joe's story and resonated with it. Like her foster father, Joe's mother had been an inventor. She'd built a purification system that could provide clean drinking water. It was technology that would help millions of people in poverty. Especially with the world's supply of water rapidly declining. It would also disrupt worldwide capitalistic markets. Something that often caught the wrong attention. Following her refusal to sell or license the technology, someone mysteriously murdered Joe's mother and stole it. When recalling the events of the murder, Joe and his family told of a blackout at their family's home. Somehow, the power cut out. Even their backup generators were affected. And Joe, who had been in the lab with his mother, recalls someone grabbing him from behind. He didn't see what happened next, because he went momentarily blind. All he could do was cry out to his screaming mother. He'd stumbled around the lab, trying to locate her. After a while, she stopped screaming. When Joe's eyesight returned to normal, he called for his mother. The lab was so dark that he couldn't tell if his eyesight had fully returned. It was a light from his mother's phone that alerted him to her location. As his trembling hands traced her form, he was met with a cold rigidity that sent shivers racing down his spine. The steady rhythm of life, the pulse, was absent. Her flesh bore no visible gashes, no testament to the violence. Upon closer scrutiny, a horrifying revelation dawned upon him. Her delicate neck had been contorted, a distortion of cruelty. Zella had heard the rumors that one of the immortals could turn people blind for a short amount of time. That validated Joe's claim that they were involved. But what would be their motive for stealing a water purification system? In the wake of his mother's untimely demise, Joe uprooted the Halili family, escorting them back to their ancestral heartland, the Philippines. Nestled within the embrace of their native soil, he ensured their resettlement before taking a solitary journey back to America. A new determination sparked within him, prompting him to go into tactical training programs. He wanted to support people like himself. People who'd had their loved ones taken from them for political reasons and could do nothing to seek justice. He wanted to build a support network for helpless victims. Joe took it one step further than that, forming his own group to fight against the corruption of groups like COG and the Immortals. Chloe poked Joe's shoulder. "Maybe I'll empathize more if she tells me more about herself," she said, acting like Zella wasn't right in front of them. Soon enough, she turned her attention to Zella. "Tell me your story, Zell." "You've never really laid it on me," Chloe said, grabbing her coffee mug. Zella returned her gaze. Chloe was like a model you saw in American advertisements. She had an athletic body. Her shoulder-length red hair flowed over her tight-knit wool cardigan. She had a well-aligned row of teeth, and her long lashes complemented her hazel eyes. Zella walked over to the tiny kitchen area and poured a shot of rum. She closed her eyes as the warm, bitter kick went down her throat. She coughed twice to clear it. "My childhood is fuzzy," she said. "I remember little. I just know that my biological mother was from Thailand. And my father was an African-American soldier from the States. For reasons that I don't know, they gave me up for adoption as a toddler. And that's how I fell into the care of Dr. Calloway." "The mad scientist himself," Chloe said. Zella turned on her heels. "Don't say that," she snapped. Joe and Chloe shot awkward glances back at her. She thought about it for a moment. She remembered that people sometimes like to say things sarcastically. Perhaps this had been one of those moments. "I mean, never mind. I'm sorry." She still had a lot to learn about people. "It's fine," Chloe said. "I should apologize. I know he meant a lot to you." "Yes," Zella said. "Going back to what I was saying, Dr. Calloway took me in as his foster child. He raised me in Brazil. Because after those children died during the Starlight program, his name was muddy in America. Nobody wanted to work with him. The world knows him as the man behind the Starlight program," Chloe said. "And although we got the immortals from it, two babies died. People have mixed thoughts about experimenting on children. They judged him too harshly," Joe added. "I mean, the government funded the Starlight program too. And Dr. Calloway had an entire team with him, you know." Chloe squeezed Joe's hand. "You sure that's not your bias talking? You come from a family of scientists." "I'm just being honest," Joe said. "I'm sorry, Zella." "Carry on." "I have little more to say," Zella continued. "My life isn't as interesting as everyone else. Growing up under father, I learned to be curious about how things worked. Playing with dolls, learning sports, or going to parties weren't things that I did. I learned how to reverse engineer things. I took smartphones and tablets apart and replaced the screens and batteries. When father's computers needed upgrading, I did it for him. I set up security systems. I learned martial arts. And I learned how to assemble firearms. Joe's mouth fell open. He raised you like a child soldier or something. Most of the time, it was just father and I. That meant that I had to do my part to sustain our living. That explains why you're always dressed like you're ready for a fight, Chloe said. It was true. Zella dressed for practicality. Although she combed her curly hair every morning, she always kept it in a simple style. She favored comfortable, non-restrictive clothing and sturdy footwear. She did not know of the latest fashion trends and which brands were popular. I just wear what's appropriate, she replied, now feeling the buzz from the shot of rum. She closed her eyes and shook her head. When she opened her eyes again, they fell back on Chloe. I have a question for you. What did you see in the EIA that made you leave? Chloe raised the coffee mug to her lips, her eyes trailing somewhere up to the ceiling. A door opened above them, and Elias leaned over the railing. We've found it. Come see. We've got the footage. Joe leaped up from the sofa and was halfway to the stairs before Chloe could reply. Sorry, Zella, we'll chat later. End of chapter. Mere Immortal is written by author Gary Swift. This is the pseudonym of Gary Swabby. Visit mereimmortal.com to read chapters by text and jump ahead in the story.